In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's get back into the Texans here. Practice today, 11:30 practice today. So they'll be practicing while In the Loop is on. Keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610, the Odyssey app, all of our social media. We'll keep you up to speed on everything going on out of Texans practice. So Dan Orlovsky did a ranking of all the quarterbacks in the NFL based on seven different categories. This feels like it's right up Dan Orlovsky's alley here with all the different aspects of physical aspects and some mental of playing quarterback. He rated them all, Seth, based on arm strength, ball placement, mechanics, decision-making, pocket presence, rushing ability, and what he calls second reaction. The ability to make plays off script, basically, is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Calls it second reaction. I will say this. These articles are much more fun to read now that the Texans have a quarterback that has a chance of showing up in the top 10 of various categories like this. And CJ Stroud showed up nicely in here. Did not show up in the top 10 for arm strength,
yeah,
rushing ability,
yeah,
or second reaction. Of those three, which are you most surprised he didn't at least sniff the top 10 in?
I'd say second reaction.
Yeah, me too.
And I do wonder, I wondered exactly how much of that was more, is he saying second reaction? I don't think he means second read. I think he means more perhaps when the play breaks down.
Exactly,
or
what
improvising,
he means.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the part where that it's almost athleticism is baked into that. The guys that can scramble around more and do a lot more of that, which we know CJ can do a good job with that. It's just, it's certainly not, it's not his calling card.
No.
He's not as physically gifted as an athlete as some of the other guys are there. So that's the only one I would really wonder about, but that might be based more on criteria than anything else.
Yeah, I just think, what I think is interesting is that one of the guys who shows up in the top 10, and this actually does give you a flavor for just how much, like, it's, this is the improv part of the game. Gardner, yeah, Minshew is ninth on the list for,
yeah,
second reaction ability, you know?
So. Yeah, no, yeah, I mean, Gardner Minshew does a good job of, right, kind of making something from now. We saw that. I mean, when he was a rookie and the Texans faced him, that was how he burned the Texans a few times, was with some of the improvisational ability.
Yeah. Now, here's where CJ did show up, and he showed up in the top five in all of these. Ball placement, fifth. Mechanics, fourth. Decision-making, fourth. His best ranking was in pocket presence, which is third. But those are all,
yeah,
those are all things that align with what we saw in his rookie year, I think.
My knee jerk Homer reaction was, what? How is he not top three in any of these? And then, yeah, you realize, oh, there's guys like Matt Stafford and Joe Burrow and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
The decision making with the football is the one where if I were to get hyper defensive about this, I honestly think that he should be above Joe Burrow. So with the decision-making with the football, he had Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford, Joe Burrow, and then CJ Stroud. Because I would include in that taking sacks.
Yes.
I think that Joe Burrow, sometimes the decision he makes with the football is to not get rid of the football. And that's something that Joe Burrow has gotten better at, but I don't think it's as advanced as a lot of other quarterbacks. I think Joe Burrow still takes too many risks. He's had double-digit interceptions in his second and third season. He was on pace for double-digit interceptions last year before he got injured. Having 11 or 12 interceptions isn't the worst thing in the world, but I don't think it's an exemplary display of football decision-making. So that's the one part where I feel like CJ should be flipped with Joe Burrow in that ranking.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed that the ball placement specialist, the BPS, only finished fifth in ball placement on here, honestly.
You know what? I'll go with this, too. And Orlovsky loves C.J. Stroud, so it's not like I'm going to roast him for this. But I do think that he hasn't watched C.J. Stroud as much as we have. But I think that some of that is that, man, when you look at his completion percentage and everything else like that, it doesn't tell the whole story.
Yeah.
It's CJ's very good for a young quarterback, especially at either throwing the ball away or taking what could be a really risky throw and choosing to either make it a ball that's going to be either an incompletion or a reception, but definitely not an interception. He'll place it in a tough place to make a catch, but it's a safe throw. So I think sometimes he gets dinged a little too much with those types of things in the conventional stats, but whatever.
There were a couple interesting things about this. I kind of nerded out on this yesterday. As you know, Seth, I'm a power rankings junkie. It can be anything, and I love to read this stuff.
I nerded out on Foley Fatakasi.
We've all got our vices, Sean.
We've all got our vices.
We all have our fetishes. Seth has a Foley Fatakasi fetish. I've got a power ranking.
I like
fetish.
The big guys. Yeah. I'm into the big guys.
The big fellas. I actually took these seven categories, these top tens. And I did the thing you do where you give 10 points to number one, 9 points to number two, 8 points to number three for all seven categories, mm-hmm. and then added all the points up and everything to come up with a immersive, inclusive, you know, kind of cumulative ranking of all the quarterbacks. And C.J. Stroud finished fifth in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. When you add up all seven of these things, and they're all weighted equally, obviously, the way I'm doing this, just because it's easier to do it that way, Mahomes is a runaway number one with 47 points. Joe Burrow is second with 40. Matt Stafford is third with 39 points. Man, Dan Orlovsky loves him some. Now, keep in mind, former teammate of Dan Orlovsky in Detroit. They drafted Matthew Stafford because Dan Orlovsky went 0-16 the year before in Detroit in 2008. So he loves Matt Stafford. He's got him third. Josh Allen fourth. C.J. Stroud is fifth on this list. If you add up all the, you know, the points, air quotes, yeah, of this stuff.
I think that's, you know, if C.J. Stroud continues to develop on the track that he's on, he still has to prove some things, you know, and just in terms of doing it for the duration and doing it this year and, you know, with everybody having watched his film, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, when you think about most great quarterbacks, very few of them are the guys that had the most magnificent arm talent. It's so much about... It's a decathlon more than the 100-meter sprint. Mm-hmm. It's an accumulation of skill sets that all create the finished product. And that's where I think you can get excited about C.J. Stroud. And really, the manner in which C.J. Stroud played last year, it was much different than the typical standout rookie of the year type quarterback performance, because it had nothing to do with his legs, or at least very little to do with his legs. He didn't have the benefit of a good rushing attack. He didn't have the benefit of a stellar defense on the other side of the ball. And he did it by executing the offense. And it was a decreasingly dumbed down offense as the year went by. With credit to Bobby Slowick, they added to it and added to it and added to it till by the end of the year, it was more like a veteran quarterback running that offense. So that's where so many people like Dan Orlovsky are so bullish on C.J. Stroud, because, yes, he had a promising rookie season, but he did it in a different manner than most rookies do when they come out of the gates really strong at quarterback.
There was one player. This was the other thing I thought was interesting after I went through the exercise of kind of going through all seven categories, what Orlovsky had in the top 10. Again, C.J. Stroud finished fifth if you do like a point system with it. I thought the other interesting thing was there was one quarterback that Orlovsky had in the top 10 in each of these categories, in all seven of them. There was only one quarterback that finished in the top 10 in all seven of the categories. And again, the categories are arm strength, ball placement, Mechanics, decision-making, pocket presence, rushing ability, and second reaction, or the ability to improv. The one quarterback that finished in the top 10, Dak Prescott, in every category. Now, some of them, he was ninth, you know, and so...
If you want to get super nerdy about this, Sean, and argue about guys that should have been ninth or 10th or 11th or so... Mm-hmm. The Dak Prescott on the second reaction stuff, I kind of question that. I think, if anything, Dak Prescott is, that's not one of his strong suits.
He was seventh in the league.
Things break down, I thought last year one of the best things about Dak Prescott and why he was so effective was that they did a really good job of keeping him on time and in rhythm with the offense. But then, because of that, he had more of a plan for when he would run. So I guess that's probably part of it. Like, now it's... There was just a little too much of, like, in-the-moment decision-making with Kellen Moore. Mike McCarthy took it and said, this is the offense. You go through your first three reads. If there's nothing there, they either check down or run. And he did a good job of that. But ball placement. Orlovsky said that he had a hard time deciding between Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers for 10th place in ball placement.
Okay.
Which shocked me. I don't think Josh Allen has improved his ball placement and accuracy so much that he should be above Aaron Rodgers in that regard.
No. I'm surprised Josh Allen is even kind of hovering around the fringes of the top 10 in ball placement.
Yeah.
Given the number of picks he throws. Dak was interesting, man. He didn't finish in the top 6 in a single category except for mechanics. He was fifth on the list in mechanics. But Dak Prescott, between 6 and 10 in almost everything, except for one thing, he was fifth. So just, which kind of matches Dak, right? Like, you watch him and you go, okay, I don't know that he's spectacular at anything, but he's super productive and he's very well-rounded.
You know, one thing that CJ hasn't necessarily gotten a lot of credit for outside of Houston, and I wonder how much people have really picked up on it, because they watched enough of him in college that maybe they, in their brain, their version of what C.J. Stroud throwing the ball looks like, it's already set in their brain. C.J. had good mechanics to begin with, mm-hmm. but he actually really tightened them up and improved them over the course of last year.
Yep.
So he was fourth in mechanics.
Yeah.
So no insult whatsoever behind Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford, and Justin Herbert. Stafford's an interesting one, because I think Stafford's a guy that... There's times where some of the brilliance that he displays is when he's doing stuff at odd arm angles and everything.
Yep.
But I think sometimes that does hurt him. So I wouldn't actually... Like, having the ability to do all that fun stuff is really cool and good, but I actually think that his mechanics are almost to his detriment at times. He gets a little too wild and crazy with it.
I thought the same thing when he had... And Matthew Stafford finishes very high in 5 of these categories. I thought the same thing about that one, Seth. I'm like, man, Stafford feels like a guy, he may have good mechanics, but he's very undisciplined with them. You know,
if there's one thing, yeah, it's like a guy who's a really good shot, but he's a little bit crazy. He's a little bit of a gunslinger, you know?
Yep.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like the one person that would argue me tooth and nail on this is CJ Stroud, because he would look at it as shade and not acknowledgement of Matt Stafford's greatness. We know from podcasting in the offseason that CJ Stroud is just an absolute diehard fan of Matt Stafford. So he would probably get offended if I said his mechanics were as good as Matt Stafford's.
Caleb Williams is too. Caleb Williams did it. I think it's with Kay Adams he did the interview, because she went to Bears camp the day after she was at Texans camp. And I was like, man, these young bucks love them some Matthew Stafford, man.
He is kind of like Danielle Hunter. J.J. Watt pointed this out during the season last year, that he felt like Danielle Hunter, just by virtue of playing in Minnesota, really didn't get the credit he deserved. And Minnesota's had good teams, but it's when it comes to national media, it's a little bit of an afterthought at times. I think that Matt Stafford very much got that. He's always very much been in the conversation, but because he was tucked away in the wasteland of Detroit, it's hard to ignore how bad they've been. Matt Stafford's teams have been versus playoff caliber opponents winning teams over the years. That it's hard to acknowledge it, I think. Whereas the guys that watch film a lot feel that same way about Matt Stafford that J.J. Watt felt about Danielle Hunter.
It's a good comparison. Speaking of the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, Jerry Jones, he's got an issue with his marquee receiver right now. CeeDee Lamb wants big-time money. The Cowboys have just been kind of twiddling their thumbs, really, with all their contract stuff. Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb. I mean, Micah Parsons has fallen into an afterthought with all the CeeDee Lamb drama going on right now. Jerry Jones said earlier this week or over the weekend there was no urgency to sign CeeDee Lamb. That's a direct quote. CeeDee Lamb saw that quote, LOL'd it on Twitter. Jerry Jones did his best, I guess, to walk back or clarify what he meant by that. Let's grade him. How did he do in clarifying his no urgency to sign CeeDee Lamb stance?
I got in trouble the other day when I said, look, we're not urgent about CD. Well, no one appreciates CD being on the field any more than I do. But let me say this. He wouldn't be taking a snap out here today if he'd been here for a while. You've got to use your head when you expose key players. That gives the other younger players a chance to do it. We know exactly what CD can do, and he's worked out with Dak. And so we wouldn't have him out here. It has really not anything to do with his contract. We've got Dak won't be out here this afternoon. And so the bottom line is, what it is no, there's not that urgency. Now, I understand completely the angst that's happening when you're anxious about and someone says anything about whether you're missed or not. Well, CD, you're missed, okay? But you're not missed out here competing, and it doesn't put any pressure anyplace on us.
So the aggregators, I'm guessing, took that and put up the quote, you're not missed. Is that the they're going to try to poke and agitate CeeDee Lamb as much as possible?
Yeah, that's what you're going
to
pull.
To get a response, yeah.
That's what you're going to pull. I guess what Jerry is saying there is like, hey, man, there's really no need for us to get CeeDee a contract to get him back in here because he wouldn't be doing 90% of this stuff anyways.
We don't need him right this moment, and we trust that something will get done or what have you. This is hard because I think in a lot of ways he's playing it the way you should as a negotiator. You don't want to look desperate to get something done. The problem with Jerry Jones is he has a long-established track record of having his feet stuck in concrete when it comes to doing things proactively. And now he's stuck in this mind screw where they're not getting deals done with Dak Prescott or CeeDee Lamb, but he's citing how hard it is to operate when you have to pay all these guys all this money. But one of the reasons it's even harder to operate is because they've dragged their feet in paying guys like Dak Prescott previously. So that you end up paying... If they don't pay Dak Prescott right now, they're going to end up paying $5, $10 million more per year next year, or they're going to be stuck in some kind of franchise tag hell, and he'll be trying to be the richest organization in all of professional sports worldwide is somehow going to be crying poverty because of the salary cap. I think that's where he can't say it and have it taken at face value. And this goes back to DeMarcus Ware or various other guys where he drags his feet and drags his feet and doesn't want to make a decision. And then they end up, the problem ends up being twofold by the time they do make a decision.
Yeah, going to be interesting, man. There's odds out on where CeeDee Lamb could end up if he's not a Dallas Cowboy. The Kansas City Chiefs, 5-1 are the favorite on the board.
I think the problem is that there's a lot of truth to what Jerry says, and it's hard to pay three guys like Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, and CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. I feel like they would much rather retain, if they had to make the choice, they'd much rather retain CeeDee Lamb than Micah Parsons. It's interesting that Micah Parsons hasn't really made headlines about any of this the whole time. As far as what I can tell, at least from what's filtered out of Dallas, is that he's being the good soldier in all of this.
That's interesting. So you don't think they would want to keep the defense? Micah Parsons is a defensive player of the year caliber guy.
I think, right. Some of this I'm basing on what the Dallas media member up there said in the offseason. That there's people in the organization that wouldn't necessarily be crying if Micah Parsons was out of the building.
Yeah, there's a lot more. There's a lot more drama that comes with Micah Parsons. I think.
If I had to guess, there's a certain maturity there, almost like with Jadeveon Clowney, where without seeing everything that goes behind the scenes, they might just get tired of some of his stuff sometimes.
Maybe so. Tyreek Hill's latest take on track and field is interesting. And it's never too late for a great Andre Johnson story. I know he went into the Hall of Fame over a week ago, but Arian Foster has a phenomenal Andre Johnson story that we will get to, and that is coming up next.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.